We begin the current daf, Masech des Vachem daf pei dal. We begin 13 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the topic of this parak, Hamizbech Mekadosh Esaro Loi. There are times that something is invalid. However, once it goes up on top of the Mizbech sanctifies it, if it's at least appropriate for it on some level, which our Mishnah discusses with that. And then, even though it's not supposed to be put up, but if it was put up, then Lo Yerdu is not going to be taken down. So says the Mishnah, Elu im olu lo yerdu. The following items, if they went up, although they're invalid, we're not going to take it down, and it's going to remain there for the sacrifice of the on the top of the mizbech. They are halon, both regarding the blood or the sacrificial parts that were left overnight, which their limit is that day. Once they're left overnight, they're apostle. So regarding if they were left overnight, or mahayotze, if they left the perimeter of where they're allowed to be, let's say certain things out of the azara, or vatame, if they became impure, which also invalidates it, v'shenishchad chutz l'zman v'chutz m'kayme, or were slaughtered with the intention of having eaten beyond its time or beyond its space, which also invalidates the carbon, or v'shekib l'psul, or for those who are invalid receive the blood of the carbon, or v'zakras damai, or is thrown by those who are invalid, which these are all invalidations in the elements of the carbon. So says the Tana, the Mishnah, all these items im olu lo yerdu. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he says, he disagrees. He says shenishchad balayla, if it was slaughtered at night time, the nishbach dama and its blood was spilled out, and v'yatza dama chutz l'klayim, a third thing that its blood was taken out of the curtains where it's allowed to be. It's not allowed to go beyond the curtains of the azara. Regarding these three things, I'm also tarried of the items that became invalidated, either because it was slaughtered at night time, or because its blood was spilled out, or its blood was taken out of the claim, then it's going to have to be taken down. So regarding these three things, the Rebbe disagrees. He agrees to the other things that the Tana had mentioned. But as the Gemara explained, these three things he holds that, no, that they're going to be taken down. Now, Reb Shimon Omer, he disagrees. He says, Loi tarried, regarding these three items that the Rebbe just said will come down, he says they do not come down. Shahay b'sula b'kaidish, because these three invalidations that Yehuda just described, they are what's called invalidated in their sanctity, meaning it was only once it came to the courtyard and it was sanctified that then these three types of karbanos became invalidated. Either because it was slaughtered, as we said, at nighttime, or because the blood then subsequently spilled out, or because it went out of the claim. Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon said, Kol shebesula b'kodesh, anything that, although it became invalidated, but after it was already sanctified, ha-kodesh m'kabla, then it was already sanctified on some level, although subsequently became invalidated. So then, the holy things, the mizbech, will receive it. Loi hoi b'sula b'kodesh, if it's something that didn't even become invalidated in its sanctity, it was invalidated before it was even sanctified, then in the kodesh m'kabla, then the holy things, the mizbech, will not receive it, as the Gemara explained the reasoning. And explains the Gemara, v'elu shlo hayub suma kodesh. The following items are things that are not invalidated in the sanctified form, meaning they were already inappropriate because they were born this way, they were made this way, or at least before they were sanctified, they're already invalidated. What are they? Hareva, if the animal sodomized a person. V'hanirva, if it was sodomized by a person. Where these are things that are intrinsically things that are wrong with the animal, even before it's sanctified. Va'amukta, if it was set aside for avodah zarah. Va'anevet, was served as avodah zarah. Va'esnan, if this animal was received as a swap for relations with a harlot. Va'amachir, and that which this animal is received as an exchange for someone who is selling a dog. Va'aklayim, and if it was a mixed breed. Va'atrefa, or if an animal has a moral defect. Or va'yitzit defin, it was born through cesarean, it wasn't born through the natural birth canal from the mother animal. Ubali mumen, and animals that are blemished, these are things that they're not invalidations in the sanctity. The other things are things that are invalidations of sanctified form. Slaughtering at night is nothing wrong. And blood spilling out is nothing wrong. It's only wrong regarding the sanctified processes of kutchim. Those are things that imalu lo yerdu. These things that are intrinsically in the animal themselves, those are things that are not psul makaydish, and they're going to be imalu yerdu. Now, regarding the last item, Rebbe Kiva Machshav Bebali Mumen, he validates if it's a blemished animal, that if it does go up, it's not going to be taken down. And the Gemara is going to explain, it's not all blemished animals. Rather, it's talking about specifically what's called Dukin Shabayin, where this film in the eye of the animal, which are called cataracts, that since it's even initially permitted by a bird carbon, so after the fact, by an animal carbon, although it is a mum, but it's going to be im olu lo yerdu. Whereas Reb Chanina Skana Kahana Moimer, he said that Deicha Haya Abba, my father would reject and he would make it come down, as Bali Mumin Me'agav Mezbech. Not like Rabbi Akiva said, that the blemished animals, he did require that if it went up, it will have to be taken down. Now, continues the Mishnah, Keshem, just like regarding all the invalidations that we learned in the Mishnah, that we said, Shem Olu Lo Yerdu, regarding if they go up, that they don't come down, Kach, so too Im Yerdu, if after they had gone up, they were then subsequently taken down, then Lo Yalu, then we're not going to take it back up anymore. So although if you take it up, you don't take it down, but if it was then taken down, you don't put it back up. Now, continues the Mishnah, V'kulon Sha'olu Chaim L'Reish Mizbeach, and the Gemara is going to explain what these last statements are, and all of them that if they're taken up to the top of the Mizbeach in a live state, when the animal's still alive, Yerdu, they have to come down. Oila Sha'ol Sechai L'Reish Mizbeach Teri, the carbon Oila that was taken up alive to the top of the Mizbeach has to be taken down. Now, Shach to B'Reish Mizbeach, if it was slaughtered, however, on the top of the Mizbeach, then Yav should be in Nascha B'Mekayma, then you skin it, you cut up it to pieces, which is what's done with the Oila, in its place over there, and then you throw it on the fires, because anyway, the whole oila is sacrificed in the fires and the ishim of the Mizbeach. Now, regarding this machlekes in our Mishnah between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, regarding what do we say im olu lo yerdu, whereas Rabbi Huda excluded three types of cases where he said, no, if it goes up, it's going to come down, and Rabbi Shimon disagreed, then he said, no, all those cases, including Rabbi Huda's im olu lo yerdu, he only excluded halachas that are totally not Pesulim HaKadosh, like Raiva, Nirva, Muktzah, Neva, things like that. So the Gemara brings a Braisa that elaborates on the sources of their opinions. Tanya, learn the Braisa. Yehuda, I mean, he said, it says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra, it says, Zeis, this, and it continues in the Pasuk, it says, Zeis, Tairas, Ha'ayla, and it says, Hi Ha'ayla, it is the Ayla. So it says to Yehuda, that Hare Elu Gimel Meyutim, you have three exclusionary terms in this Pasuk. The word Zeis, this, saying this and not something else. He, the it, saying also excluding something else, and the hey of ha'ayla, the ayla, which it sounds like the specific one, which is valid, and not the invalid one, which is coming to exclude invalid karbanas, where even if it goes up, because this is the pasuk that we brought in the previous Mishnah, he ayla al moiktel mazbech kalalayla, that's where we learned out, chleikis, or b'shur, exactly what, but that's the halacha of where we learn that the halacha Allah yerdu. So it's saying three exclusionary terms that don't say that whatever touches the Mizbeach, it's going to include anything that's invalid, that it's Allah yerdu. No, three things we're excluding. What are the three things? Like Rabbi Huda said in our Mishnah, Prat l'shenishcha tobalayla, excluding if the animal was slaughtered at nighttime. Vishenish b'chdam, if the blood was spilled out, which that's the primary atonement of the carbon, or if it didn't spill up, but it was taken out of the area of the curtains. Shem also teret, it's regarding those three things that even if it went up, it's going to be taken down. Where it's logical to exclude these three halachas, because their invalidations are even before the blood is thrown. When the slaughtering is before the blood is thrown, blood spills out, it wasn't thrown yet, or if it went out of the climb. And since it wasn't, didn't even have the primary atonement, so that's like almost like you could imagine Rabbi Shimon's halacha of that it's not Pesul HaKadosh, it's even before the thing begat the primary atonement. So those are the three things that Rabbi Huda says are excluded. Now later on the Gemara is going to explain, but regarding all the other invalidations, how does Rabbi Huda know that lo yerdu, and that we're not going to exclude it from him, because certain halachas, like for example, nishchat chutzah zmanei, when it's slaughtered with the intention of having it being eaten beyond its time, that's also an invalidation before the Zerika. Why there, the Gemara is going to explain, does Rabbi Huda hold that im olu lo yerdu? Why isn't it the same as these three halachas that he's saying that im olu yerdu? Rabbi Shimon Eimer, he disagrees, as we said in the Mishnah, he says, the word in the pasuk says oila. Regarding these halachas, it says this is the laws of the oila, it's the oila on the fire, on the mizbeach, all night, which is the simple translation of the pasuk, because it's just talking about the practical halachas of the oila. But again, as we said, we interpret this pasuk regarding the halacha of ma'alu layirdu. So the prototype that I mentioned is the oila. So only ilo oila kashera. I would only know a valid carbon oila, that if it's put up, you don't take it down. Minayin l'rabbis, how do you know to include? And he's going to go through a whole list, including those Rabbi Huda said ma'alu yerdu. He says, no, ma'alu layirdu. Which, how do you know it includes Shenishcha to Balayla for slaughter at night time? Or for Shenishpach Dam if the blood was spilled out? Or for Shiyatza Dam Chutzaklom if the blood went out of the area of the Azar? Or Valon if it was left overnight? Or Vahayetze if it was taken out of the area that's allowed to be? Vahatami if it became Tami? Or for Shenishcha Chutzazman and Chutzam Kami if it was slaughtered with the intention of having been eaten beyond its time or beyond its place? Or for Shekibl Psulin Vazorkas Dami? Or if those who are invalid to do the receiving the blood received it or through its blood? Or Hanitan Lamatish and the Son Lamalo. If let's say the blood of this carbon, which the limbs are on the top now, its blood, instead of being put on the top, the bottom as it's supposed to be, like Oila, it was put on the top. or ulamala shenesan lamato, or like the blood of a chatzis, which is supposed to be put on the upper half, was put on the bottom half, or vanitan b'chut shenesan b'fnim, the bloods of a korban that's supposed to be in the outer mizbech were put on the inner altar, or b'fnim shenesan b'chutz, or the bloods that are supposed to be on the inner were on the outer. Or upesach v'chatas shachtan shalalishman, or come pesach v'chatas, if we're slaughtered shalalishman, as we learned in the first mission in this mesechta, where by there it actually invalidates the carbon. Minayin, how would he know that if, let's say, the limbs of these carbonas, which they are pasul, they're invalid. Not that it's just loyal, it's totally invalid. How do we know that the limbs are on the top of the mizbeach? We're not going to take it down. That's what the pasuk teaches over there. In that pasuk it says, Tairas ha'ayla, this is the law of the ayla. What do you mean the law of the oil? Like we said regarding the interpretation, that's al maikta, that's on the fire, which is that it's shaseda kol alayla the biker. You leave it there, meaning that you don't take it down. What does that mean? Tiras oila? It sounds like a general statement. The laws of the oila riba tara achas l'chal oilin. Besides the word oila being the carbon oila, also means it's including one halacha encompassing any limb of a carbon that was put on the top. Shem Allah lo yeridu, that if it went up, you don't take it down, you leave it there. Now, based on that, says Reb Shimon, so you think that I would include anything that became pasul that we're sanctifying, whether harayva nirva, whether if it's sodomized or was sodomized, amukchav neved, or if it was set aside or was worshipped as a avodah zara, v'esna namachir, if it was swapped either for the relations with a harlot or with a dog, who climb a tray for, if it's a mixed breed or with a moral defect, v'yetzadayvin, and if it was born through Caesarean, maybe I would say that they're also included. If you made such a carbon and it was put on the top, that you don't take it down. Tamalam is zeis. No, it says zeis terasayla. This was an exclusionary term. So that's why we're excluding these things. But then the question is, umari isal rabbis is elu, ulahit says elu. Where did you see fit to include the first category of items and to exclude the second category of items from zeis? Oh, and that says Reb Shimon, acher shariba. Once that we include, as we continue to mitbeis, hakosef, umid, the pasuk has an inclusionary term and an exclusionary term. So, therefore, we're going to make the following division. Marba nias elu shay psul makaydish. We're going to include the first whole list of things which were invalidations in their sanctified form. Where, let's say, something was slaughtered at nighttime. These are things that it was sanctified. It was a good, appropriate carbon. Then you slaughtered the wrong way, the blood spilled out, something happened in its sanctified form. That is something that was included in the inclusionary term of Teres Eila. But what's Zeis excluding? The second category of things, Shlahaya Psul Makaydish. Those are not invalidations in the form of how Karbanas are done. It's something intrinsically wrong with the animal. Avodah Zarah was done with it. Sodomy was done with it. Something was done with it. Inappropriate. Nothing to do with kachim. That invalidation is more intrinsic and more invalidating. And therefore, if even it was alu, it's going to be yerdu. Now, but says the Gemara of Rabbi Huda Maisi law, where does he learn, as we had already mentioned, the Amud Aleph, regarding the other invalidations, that it's lo yerdu? Why? Didn't we say that seemingly it's the same thing? It's also just like the three things that he excludes from Zeis and he and ha'ayla, which are the three exclusionary terms, that those are things that their invalidations are, yeah, although they're psulim ha'kaydish, it doesn't make the same division, the same lines as Reb Shimon, but they're before the zrika of the dam. So why are there certain things in the list of things that he includes, which are also before the zrika of the dam, and yet he says that im alu, that they're going to be lo yerdu? So says the Gemara Mahachi, knows it from this logic, because Menema amrulan bedam kosher. Why did we say regarding if the blood was left out overnight, it's going to be valid if later it was put up on top of the mizbeach that you're not going to take it down? Why isn't this also an invalidation before the zrika of the dam? Oh, because we find a precedent in this invalidation of lan shari lan kosher be murin. Because we find that if the sacrificial parts are left out overnight, that there it is going to be valid that im alu lo yerdu. So therefore, since we find the precedent by lan by murm, so therefore we'll say it by lan by dam, even though you're right, dam is before the zrik is a dam, but still we'll say it because we compare it to that. And lan by murm kasha, how do we know that if it's left over overnight by the sacrificial parts, im allo yerdu? Shahri lan kasha bebasr. Because being left out overnight is actually totally valid by the meat of the carbon, like for example, the meat of the carbon shlam, where it's eaten for 2 days and one night. So the meat of a carbon shlam, of course, can be left out overnight, you could eat it the next day. So since being left out overnight by the meat of the carbon is valid, so then we compare that to the Imarm too, and then we learn Adam from that. And that's why Lambe Badam, even though really it should be the same as those three that are excluded, but we find already a precedent. So to Yaitse, the problem about taking out the limbs of an oil or the sacrificial parts out of the area where it's allowed to be eaten, that there, even though it's something that's problematic, but you're going to put it on top of the Mizbech, you're not going to have to take it down. Now, as Rashi points out, the Yaitzeh here is talking about the limbs of the Oila, or the sacrificial parts. But actually taking the blood out, they actually, Rabbi Huda does invalidate. Like we said, that the Yaitzeh Dama Chutz L'Klayim, that he says that actually it's going to be Im Olu Yerdu. That's because since he has three exclusionary terms, it's more logical to exclude the Yaitzeh of Dam than the Yaitzeh of Eivar. But why is the Yaitzeh of Eivar going to be valid? Because we do find the precedent, we find that by Obama, when the private altars were permitted, that there was no invalidation of Yaitzeh. And because you could eat it, you could do it wherever you want. There were no demarcation of lines where the curtains were, where the area was. So since you find such a precedent, so therefore even by Yaitzeh Be'Ivarm, although it should also be problematic, but it's going to be Im Olu Lo Yerdu. And so do Tame. So too, if it became Tame, why is that okay? Since it's permitted in certain situations for the avodah to be done with tumah, for example, let's say when this the tzibur has to have a carbon being done, it's hutra b'tzibur. So therefore, tameh also, although it's problematic and this carbon is pasul, but im alu la yerdu. So to chutzas vane. If let's say the carbon was slaughtered with the machshava to have it eaten beyond its time, where that's also before the zrik, it's being done during the shechita and it makes it pasul. So why do you say im alu la yerdu? Because since we find that there is some type of an acceptance of that avoda, even for what's inside, meaning because on some element, it's almost a paradoxical, but it makes it merutza lepigula, meaning it works, the slaughtering works. What do you mean it works? It works to say that if you're going to do all the other avodas in a proper way, and this one with the machshava of chutzas manai, it will make it punishable for karas. It helps it in a negative way, but it's something that's still constructive, albeit in a negative way. So therefore, since it has some type of an effectiveness, so it's also going to be effective to say, okay, I'm olu lo yerdu. And chutzlam kaimai, regarding the machshava was to have it eaten beyond its space. There, although there's no miratz lepigula to make a punishment of karas, and the fact that it's possible, of course it's possible, because it wasn't done in a valid way, that's hoyel ve'iskish l'chutzaz manai. The reason why we say here, I'm olu lo yerdu, is because the pasuk equates chutzam kaim to chutzas manai, and just like chutzam kaim lasmanai, we just said it's going to be olu lo yerdu, so to chutzam kaim. And regarding shekiblu besulin v'zarku as damai, regarding, and we're going through the list of those items which Rabbi Yehuda said im olu lo yerdu, why are they not excluded? Like we said, like the three items that he excludes. If let's say those who are invalid receive the blood or throw the blood, because behandach psuli the chazla avoy desibur, talking about those types of invalid people that are, even though they're invalid to do the avodah in general, but they're valid to do it, there is a precedent, they're valid to do it when it's for avodah of a tzibur, for example, a kohen that's tummy. Although a kohen that's tummy is not allowed to do the avodah, but when the tzibur needs it, and the whole tzibur is tummy, then he's allowed to do the avodah. So therefore, since we find a precedent, therefore, although it's pasul, but it's going to be im olu lo yedu. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, and do we learn something that is not in a valid way? For example, let's say the imurim, the sacrificial parts, were left out overnight. You want to say that, although it's possible, but we're going to say, im alu lo yerdu. Why? You could learn it out, for something that's done in its appropriate way. You're saying, when the meat is left out overnight by the shlam, nothing wrong. You can put it in the fridge, you could eat it the next day, you could eat it for 2 days. Oh, so you see, lun works, so here also lun's going to work. How are you learning something that, when it's left out overnight, it's kosher, it's supposed to be that way, to something that's not supposed to be that way? So too, let's say you're learning out the halacha of yoytze, that when the limb of the carbon oil leaves the area of the base of Mikdash, okay, it makes it possible, you're not supposed to bring up to Mizbeach. If you did, we're not going to make you take it down. Why not? Why is it different than the three halachas Rabbi excludes? Oh, because you find by Bama, yoytze is not a problem. But by Bama is not a problem because there's no mechitas, there's no walls. It's totally valid. Here it's not valid. So I can learn something that's not valid from that is valid. So says the Gemara, you're right. No, the Tana, the Braisa, Azais Toira Sa'ila Riba Samechle. Really, primarily, he's relying on his interpretation of the halacha that we have three miyutim. So those are the things we're excluding because those are the most not appropriate. But these things that he's including, it's not really from comparing Yetzeh to the Bamo or Lun to the piece of the Shlava meat. Really, it's relying on, because the word Tairas comes to include everything else. There are three exclusionary terms. So the most unlike will exclude. These things, it's just logic that he's saying, you do find some precedence. Of course you can't learn Nasa Mishle Bechshe Mechshere. It's being learned from the word Tairas. But you want to know why we decided those things should be included? It's because we do find some element of it, but not that you could really learn Nasa Mechshere from Mechshere. Now, a Keteran related discussion regarding this halacha of one of the things we mentioned in Rabbi Huda regarding Shanishchata Balaila, regarding being slaughtered at nighttime, where he said that even in Aluloy it's going to be Yerdu. So Amr Yechanan, he says as follows: Hashechet Behema Balaila Bifnim. If someone slaughters a kachim animal at nighttime in the Azar, the Hel Bachot, and then he goes and he sacrifices out of the area of the Azar. Well, one is not allowed to, the Torah forbids it. So Chayiv is going to be liable by sacrificing this carbon out of the Azara, even according to Yehuda, who he said that such a carbon, if let's say you slaughtered at nighttime in the Azara and then you put it on top of Mizbech, we're going to make you take it down. So not, meaning not only, says Rabbi Yechanan, regarding those opinions who hold, like Rabbi Shimon, im alu lo yerdu, that of course you're going to be liable by sacrificing it outside, like the Gemara says later on, Perek HaShechet, v'amalam kofir alfam beis, if it's received inside, if it would be a valid carbon inside, of course you're going to be liable outside. But as says Rabbi Yechanan, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says not only is not valid, you can actually have to take it down, still you're going to be liable for sacrificing that out of the Azar. Why? Isn't the criterion if it's valid inside, then you chayiv outside? If it's not valid inside, then you patur outside. So as you continue to have pei peyim and aleph, because says Reb Yechanan, like the hay pachusa, it shouldn't be any less mishechet pachutz umal pachutz from slaughtering it outside the azara and then sacrificing it outside the azara. Where the Gemara tells later on Perek Hashechet of Kavav Mar Aleph that then you can be liable for both the slaughtering and the sacrificing, even though shechet pachutz is also invalid. So from the fact that you see that if he's chayv b'sheichet b'chutz v'mal b'chutz, you also be chayv even according to Yehuda for being sheichet b'layla b'fnim, which is also invalidation, and to be chayv in hal b'chutz, even though these are things that im olu would be yerdu, still you can be chayv on the outside. And that muster chayv barav, and he asked him in Mishnah later on, daf kuf yod alef amud aleph. Mishnah says, hasheichet oif b'fnim. Someone slaughters a bird carbon in the azar. Now, there's no slaughtering done on bird carbonas. Someone called Malika Kayan takes his the nail of his thumb, and he cuts open the back of the neck of the bird. But this kohen went and he slaughtered the bird inside, and then umal b'chutz, he sacrificed it out of the azar where one is not allowed to. Says the Mishnah, Pater is going to be exempt for sacrificing it outside of the azar, because such a carbon would not be received on the mizbeach in the azar, only if, like we said, if malika was done. Since it's not valid inside, you're not going to be chayav for doing halah on the outside. Continues the Mishnah, Shachat Bachutz. Let's say he slaughtered the bird outside, Umal Bachutz, and then he sacrificed it outside. Then Chayiv, he's going to be liable for both, for the slaughtering and for the sacrificing. Now the reason for this is, why are you liable for slaughtering a bird of Kachem on the outside? It's actually included from Oy Asher Yishchat, as the Gemara says later on Perek HaShechet. So too, regarding the sacrificing it on the outside is chayiv, because the Gemara there in HaShechet also includes, regarding all those that are sacrificed, for all those that are liable for the slaughtering. In other words, just like you're liable for the slaughtering of the bird carbon, so too you're liable for the sacrificing, like it says over there, Valeim Timer, which says, whatever you chayiv for the shechita, you chayiv for the Allah. So here, since we include from the word oy, to be liable for the slaughtering, although there's no slaughtering for a bird, but there is included the slaughtering will be liable even for bird carbon outside. So chayav for the sacrificing of the bird carbon outside also. So that is Rabbi Chibar Oven and Rabbi Yechanan. Why? So then name a light to hay. So then we should say for the first halacha of the Mishnah that the case of slaughtering the bird carbon inside should not be p'chusa, should not be any less mishecher demal v'chutz than the case of slaughtering it and sacrificing on the outside. If you're slaughtering on the outside, then you're going to be chayiv for the sacrificing on the outside, which that's totally invalid. You don't even do shechita on the kachemayv. Still you're chayiv. So then, just like the logic and the kavochem that Rabbi Yechanan had used, so too over here, when you're doing the shechita of the bird inside, which is no less than slaughtering on the outside, you should also be chayiv for mal b'chutz. Obviously, says the Gemara Tiyuf, that's a refutation of Rabbi Yechanan. We don't say those types of kavochemers. So although that, for the halach of halah b'chutz, yeah, and we could understand why that would be. because they're both in the same invalidations of bachutz. So yeah, sheichel bachutz and mal bachutz, you could be chayiv, but an invalidation of, let's say, that's done inside of that equivalency, let's say in the case of sheichel balayla bifnim, that you wouldn't say that you'd be chayiv and mal bachutz according to Behuda, and you actually would be potter, because there it wouldn't be valid on the mizbeach, it would be im olu yerdu, as we find over here, where if someone's sheichel eip bifnim and he's mal bachutz, he's going to be potter. Or Ibai Yisema says, if you want, you could say an answer, a resolution for Bi'echnan. Shchitas ha'oif b'fnim, that mission is not a contradiction. Because slaughtering a bird carbon inside, slaughtering, is miktal katli, is just killing it. Because there is no element of slaughtering a bird carbon, or any bird inside the Azara, whether it's kachim or chulin. You don't slaughter anything of a bird inside the Azara. Whereas slaughtering an animal carbon by nighttime in the Azara, that is slaughtering, let's say by a chulin animal, you're allowed to slaughter a chulin animal at nighttime. So therefore, by kachim, it's not like it's not slaughtering. By the bird carbon, it's not slaughtering. There's no slaughtering in the azara of a bird. An animal, there is slaughtering at nighttime. It would be considered slaughtering. It would be a valid slaughtering. So therefore, it's considered what's known as a shchita psula. It is a shchita. It's just a shchita psula. So therefore, Bi'echanan could say, then it shouldn't be any less than a shchita b'chutz. And therefore, just like shchita b'chutz, you're going to be chayiv, even though it's an invalidating type of shchita, which would be im olu yerdu, if you're going to be mal b'chutz, you're going to be chayiv. So too, if you're shochet b'layla b'fnim, it's not like you killed it. It's a valid shchita. By a bird, there is no shchita of a bird inside the azar. So that's like just killing it. Killing it, so that's like a dead bird. A dead bird, you slaughter it outside. You didn't do any isra of mal kachim b'chutz. So that's what the Mishnah says. Shachet oif b'fnim and then mal b'chutz, you're going to be potter. And yeah, you can't say a kavuchemer from the next case of shachet b'chutz and mal b'chutz, you're going to be chayev. Because regarding the case of shachet b'fnim, it's totally nothing. But here the case of Rabbi Yechanan, of shachet b'hema b'layla b'fnim, where it is a shchita, it's just a shchita psula, because for kachim it's a problem, and it's being done at nighttime, but it's still a shchita, and therefore since it's a shchita, it's an invalidation in a carbon. It is a carbon, it's just invalidation. So therefore, although yeah, im olu yerdu, but it's still enough of considered like you did an invalid shchita, which just like the case of sheichet b'chutz and then mal b'chutz, you're going to be chayiv, so to sheichet b'layla b'fnim, and then mal b'chutz, and then even according to Behuda, one is going to be chayiv for the isra of halal b'chutz.